Blog Talk Radio.
We're the new generation. The new generation. And we believe now. We believe.
We believe.
It's a televised revolution. We want democracy. We fight all oppression. We're tired of all the red green. We want our freedom. Like the Statue of Liberty. We want to see our children live better than you and me. The whole city is a dance floor. It's a celebration for the whole world to see. Things are really changing. From Africa to Asia, through Europe, across the sea. Everybody's got their head up. Nobody's on their knees. And the bosses stopped lying. And we gave the quiet sky. And we stand in love and wonder at the miracle gone by. And it ain't like it used to be. Cause it's better than it was. We're the new generation. We believe in us. We believe in us.
We're the new, 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 new.
We believe in us. Generation. Now we're sharing our money. Now we're helping tough lives. Now we're calling up our brothers, saying I apologize. Love is stronger than the Terminator. Love's in every baby's eyes. You're crawling out of that dirty gutter with tuxedos on your mind. You want a glass of champagne. You want it paid for by the pain. Shout your national anthem for all your countrymen that died in vain. You're the new prince ruler, the Red Dawn Cairo King, an international inspiration, the number one topic most trending. And now the bombers stop flying, and we gaze at quiet sky, and we stand in love and wonder at the miracle gone by. And it ain't like it used to be, cause it's better than it was. We're the new generation. We believe in us. We believe in us.
We're the new, 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 new.
We believe in us.
We're the new, new, new.
We believe in us.
We're the new, new, new.
We believe in innovation. The new generation. Now you can't get between us. We're connected like mother and child. It's a worldwide network. You better log on before you die. Cause the old God is over. And the new way is baptized. And now we're storming through the palace, singing, dancing, you know why? Waving peace flags on the balcony. Yeah, we just changed history. Here we all join hands. And thank God for listening. And the bosses stop lying. And we gaze at quiet sky. And we stand in love and wonder as the miracle come by. It ain't like it used to be, cause it's better than it was. We're the new generation. We believe in us. We believe in us.
We believe in us.
We believe in us. We believe in us. We're the new, 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 new. We're the new, 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 new. We're the new, new.
You're listening to EIE SOC Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Tony Nix, founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. Welcome to tonight's segment where we're going to be talking about our communities and activists in our communities who are trying to turn the tide of gun violence around, also reaching out to our troubled youth and young adults through mentoring, being a listening ear, reaching out, guiding them, and giving them something that they may not be receiving at home. We got men stepping up who are being fathers to youth and young adults who are not biologically theirs, but helping them to understand what it is to be a man. That's what we're talking about tonight, community activists and the parts they play in the communities that suffer from the plague of gun violence here in our nation. Our call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. The chat room is open. Feel free to use it. Your comments will be responded to in accordance. Also, when you call in, please press 1. I'll know you're in the queue, and I'll bring you in on the conversation that we're having tonight. Please be aware of the background noise when you call in, such as children, cats, dogs, radio, TV, what have you. We tape this, and we try to have a clear taping. Also, if someone has a view that you don't agree with, it's okay to disagree. I just ask that you don't attack the other individual's view. You know, it's okay to disagree, but we still need to be respectful. Please try to watch your language. I really don't make a big thing about it, you know, because generally on my show, there's not a whole lot of cursing and whatnot. But at times it do happen, but it's not extreme, so, you know, I really don't press it. Again, we're talking about community activists tonight. There's going to be a few calling in. I know some are running late. Some are already on the line. We're going to kick it off in a few minutes right after this.
We people who are dark up and blue, don't let us hang around this town and let what others say come true. We're just good for nothing, they all figure. A boy should grown up shiftless chitter. Now we can't hardly stand for that. Or is that really where it's at? We people who are darker than the blue, we got no time for segregating. Let's talk about brown and yellow too. How young girl, can you tell? You're just the surface of our dark deep well. If your mind could really see, you'd know your color, same as me. Pardon me, brother, as you stand in your glory. I know you won't mind if I tell the whole story. But there's a joker in the street, loving one brother and killing the other. When the time comes and we are really free, there'll be no brothers left, you see. We people who are dark of the blue, don't let us hang around this town and let what others say come true. We're just good for nothing, they all forget. A voice grown up shiftless chin. Now we can't hardly stand for that, or is that really where it's at? I know we've come a long, long way, but let us not be so satisfied, for tomorrow can be an even brighter day.
Welcome back to Enough is Enough, Save Our Children Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix. Tonight, we're talking about community activists and the impact they have in the communities that are under siege due to gun violence in America. Those who are reaching out to our troubled youth and young adults and bringing them out of the muck and mire of the streets, who are offering them a better way and hope. Today, this is who we're talking about. This is who we salute. I'm waiting for the lines to fill up. They are as I'm speaking. Our call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. I'm looking for community activists to call in and give us your experience on what you're doing, how you're doing it, your frustrations, what you need from the people, and how we can accomplish more than what we have so far. Our kids need help. Our children are dying. Gun violence is a crisis in America, and it doesn't seem to have any end in sight. We've just had a mass shooting in Colorado, and as that has happened, the death toll in America's inner cities has continued to grow. Gun violence in America must be stopped. The body count is entirely too high. Little children are dying. Innocent bystanders are being shot. Our youth and young adults are out there committing self-inflicted genocide. It's time to wake up and step up, America. This is bigger than just Trayvon Martin. This is bigger than a few other names. This is our children. These are our sons. These are our daughters. These are our babies. They're dying at a rapid rate. They need help. And it's truly up to us as a people. Not just for African American children, but children across the board. Because it's affecting all children. It just happens to be African American and Latino children are the biggest statistic. Time to change that. We can't count on the president, we can't count on our mayors, we can't count on our governors. It's truly up to us, the people of the community. We have activists and organizations who are stepping up to the front line to make it happen. And they need the backing of the community at large. This will have a greater impact. It's time for a national alliance for a ceasefire. Can we put the guns down just for the day? Let's do it one day at a time. We do it today and hope for tomorrow. The violence needs to stop. I'm looking at the attention that the killings in Colorado has brought to the media. And I really feel that it's not fair that the media does not cover the violence in America's inner cities like they're covering this mass shooting. Because Mrs. Johnson's son or Mrs. Bell's husband are just as important. Okay? We have to change our mindset. We have to get up off of this conditioning that we call ourselves being under. We have the awareness, and it's time to make some changes. We can do it if we want to do it. And that's a big question. Do we really want to do it? Have we given up on our children? Have we given up on ourselves? Well, shame on us if we have. Because if we give up, it'll be our fault and nobody else's. We can't blame nobody else for what's going on. Sure, we can say we don't make the guns. That's pretty obvious. But what goes on in our community, we can step in and change by standing together, not being afraid, not waiting for somebody else. Stand together. Any progress and change for us took people sacrificing and standing together. That will make a greater impact because our kids are dying. Some kid is being shot as I speak. Weapons are being flooded in our communities, and as community at large need to demand that the source of these weapons be stopped. There's some tactics we could use. One of the biggest moves we could use is boycotting. Time to use our resources and assets to bring change to our community, to stop the gun violence. We got to get behind the activists and the organizations that are stepping up to the front line and saying, put the guns down. Let's promote peace and let the gunfire cease. I'm going to bring in our first caller tonight. He's a native of New York. Brother called in. I'm not going to delay it any further because I know the lines are going to fill up. I want to welcome Brother Roland to tonight's show. How you doing, Roland?
Hey, Tony. Thank you very much, man, for allowing me to, join you tonight and share. I just want to start off by saying I think what you're doing, especially with providing this media, man, is one of the ways we can move forward in doing this abolishment of death by the NRA.
I'm sorry, say that again. I didn't catch that last part. Say that again.
I said I think I want to thank you, and I was saying that I think that you creating this medium of radio, especially on the internet, is a great way and first step in terms of abolishing the death machine called the NRA, National Rifle Association.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, man. Thank you. You know, and I say that real humbly, man. You know, because this what's going on is much greater than me. You know, and I'm so grateful to be able to have access to the internet and to be able to bring greater awareness to those who are listening. You know, and I'm grateful for having brothers like yourself call in.
Yeah, but well,
go ahead, I'm sorry. Continue.
No, I'm just saying. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is in the world, new world of, you know, technology, apps and what do you call them? You know, these smartphones and you know, this new generation in this new world, making the great use of the internet to spread the word and have community activism is a great medium, man, you know, for these days and times. So, I really thank you for for your, you know, your wisdom and your creation in terms of doing this.
Right. You're a native New Yorker, correct? We were speaking earlier, and you were involved with helping children, correct?
Yeah, man. I've been in the business of community activism and helping children, whether it be with the Board of Education, Police Department, New York State Child Abuse, or for, you know, the past 20 years, I was a private investigator. I did criminal defense work for most of the courts here in New York by working on various panels, including the death penalty panel. So I've been working with youth from the 103 precinct on through child abuse to you know, being a private investigator, owning my own business, and working on the criminal defense panels, all total about, I'd say, about 40 years.
Wow, that's some time. You put some time in. You know, with today's youth and young adults, you know, I'm going to ask this question. What element do you really feel that's missing?
Well, I mean, the key element that's missing, brother, is basically education, in terms of, you know, being aware of what our surroundings are about, why such things as drugs and guns are in the community, how they got to our community, and how we can stop them from being in our community. If you're sitting in the dark, and you don't have any awareness as to, you know, why these things are there, then you don't have any aspects of trying to create any solutions in order to eliminate the problem.
Wow, strong point. Strong point. What? You know, as far as, you know, community involvement, you know, what would be what would really draw them to be involved? Because I'm finding when anger and outrage is shown, it's usually when the community is able to blame those outside of the community. You know, Trayvon Martin, they came out nationwide, you know, angry and outraged for justice. Unarmed individual gets shot by local law enforcement. The community comes out, you know, anger and outrage. We want justice. In our own communities, troubled youth and young adults, gang members, are painting the streets red with their blood. Where is the anger and outrage? Is it because there's no one to blame, or is it lack of accountability?
I think you hit it on both. On both angles and both heads. I mean, the lack of education doesn't allow them to have knowledge as to who to blame, and they've been living with it for so long that it has become the norm. So they don't see any outrage unless there is some rare specific moment, whereas it's just that out of the norm in terms of, you know, like you say, a cop shooting unarmed, or, you know, the one aspect of the Trayvon type, you know, situation. But that's only for a minute, man, and then everything goes back to the norm. Now, you asked the question about what would shock, you know, and shake up the community on some longevity. And, you know, I don't want to be too much of a radical here, but I'm a realist. And I'll tell you, when cops start getting shot in masses, and I'm not advocating this, but what I'm saying, you take, for instance, this last incident here. The only reason that this Joker kid stopped shooting is because the AR-15 jammed. He's carrying an AR-15 with a drum magazine that's holding 100 rounds. The only reason he didn't continue his slaughter was because the gun jammed. Now, if that gun had not jammed, and he had wiped out 15 to 20 cops in that parking lot, you would then see some outrage on the government level that would override that NRA power structure that's controlling Congress.
Well, the mayor of New York, as of late, suggested that law enforcement across the nation should go on strike.
He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. You know, and I mean, just short of masses of cops being killed, yes, that would be the next great the next great thing to influence this. And I tell you who should be leading in the forefront should be the Black Guardian Association, the National Black Guardian Association of Cops, the 100 Black Men. All of these people, these organizations should be the primary guys that are out there, because it's our Black and Latino kids that are being, you know, shot and killed on a massive basis each and every day. Each and every day. And the NRA is so powerful that people on a terrorist watch list can come in and purchase a gun without a background check. On the terrorist watch list. And I don't want to digress too far, but I tell you, this whole thing with Eric Holder and this Fast and Furious trial and this death of Agent Terry, that's going to expose a hell of a lot more on the NRA also in terms of the leniency and power that the NRA has that's allowing these massive weapons to be bought in masses and unchecked, all under the name of the Second Amendment rights to bear arms.
The Second Amendment. Wow, wow. Well, hold on there for a minute, Roland, because, wow, you know, you just said a lot, and some I do know and some I didn't know. As far as the weapons go, you know, there's various sources of how these weapons are getting in. First of all, I just really believe they're letting them come in, period.
There's one primary source. I mean, America is one of the greatest sources and manufacturers of the weapon. I mean, we America was born on the weapon. Just ask the Native Americans. So I mean, you know, America, you know, the 13 colonies, we broke away from England based on the weapon. You know what I mean? So the weapons are getting in because the NRA. The creator, you know, of the organization, of the daddy of weapons, is allowing them not only, you know, to be made for no purpose but to kill people, but allows them to be sold without any restrictions in America. You have 8 in Arizona, 835 gun stores. 835
wow.
Arizona.
And weapons are being purchased like lottery tickets.
Every day like water with no background checks. That was the Fast and Furious operation.
And most of the weapons...
8 to 18 on food stamps.
Most of the weapons are that are involved in the killings are all illegal. All of them are illegal.
No, sir. They're all legal.
Really?
Once they kill somebody, they become illegal. Well, all of the weapons are legal.
Oh, we're gonna have to talk about that because now
that's what the problem is, my brother. That the laws under the Second Amendment says the right to bear arms.
Okay, so I follow you now. I'm not disagreeing. I'm following what you're saying.
The proof is in the pudding. Out of all of the weapons and bullets, 6,000 bullets, the tear gas, he's not being charged with possession of illegal weapons. He's being charged with shooting people.
Exactly.
He didn't do anything illegal by the purchasing of all of that mass murder, those mass murders and tools.
Exactly, and since you're on that part of what he's being charged on, that's something I wanted to talk about briefly. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Roland, don't go anywhere. Hold on, okay?
You got it.
For years, black folks said America was the enemy. Now black folks leaving black folks dead in the streets. Exploit Trayvon Martin, concealers just like me. Engaging black on black crime, now you consider a G. We cannot separate the real from the fake. I'm the shark, you the bait, on rules real could relate. But sometimes I think we already chose our fate. But deep inside, I pray it's not too late. It's hard to see a black child killed by a black man. Then an older black man blame the white man. Young black man, finger on the trigger. But all he wanna do is just kill another. Now I'ma sell out cause I speak the truth. The only reason why I rap to get this message to you. I don't know what else to do to get through. I made the first move, now it's all on you.
Children dying and people crying. What's going wrong in this world? Who can you trust when everyone around you lying? What's going wrong in this world?
You're listening to Enough is Enough, Save Our Children Radio. Call in number tonight is 424-258-9271. Call in, join our discussion tonight. We're talking about community. We're talking about community activism. We're talking about also the massacre that just occurred in Colorado. If you have any view that you would like to share, feel free to call in. Again, the number is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I'll know you're in the queue, and I'll bring you in on tonight's show. The chat room is also open. Feel free to leave your comments and concerns. They will be addressed and shared throughout the show. We got about a little less than 60 minutes. We're going to make the most of it. I'm going to get back to my callers. I'm going to bring my next caller in and let him just share a little something with us for a moment. Then I have a question that I want to ask. Good evening, Doc. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, Tony.
Did you hear Brother Roland just now?
Yeah, I did.
Well, I think, I'm not an expert. I think he made some valid points. You know, I don't know.
Yeah,
did you say something similar to this the other day?
Yeah, I did.
I said that, you know, the guns were legal, but, you know, he went there. He threw the Second Amendment out there. The right to bear arms. And the guns do not become illegal until someone is killed.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I also would like to state, though, that a lot of the guns, too, I don't think it's that simple. I think it gets pretty convoluted. I think there's a lot of weapons that are out there that are illegal. I don't think a lot of the weapons that are out there are legal weapons that people are getting that are out there on the street. Just so happens one case that we're talking about, that we're focusing on, that this gentleman got was is a legal case that we're talking about. The stuff that he got was legal, okay? That's what we're focusing on. That's what we're putting all of our attention on. And so when I look at this thing from a broader perspective, I don't put all of my attention on this particular issue because you can get lost. And a lot of our kids are getting killed with weapons that aren't weapons that are gotten that people buy that are getting background checks and that sort of thing. So I don't put a lot of emphasis on weapons that people are getting legally, nor do I really. That's just not where I put a lot of my time. One of the things I'd like to say also is I don't put a lot of my time in the blame game in a simplistic fashion by saying that the NRA is our problem and we need to blame the NRA and spend a lot of time in trying to say that the NRA is the problem and we need to devote a lot of time to the NRA because they're the problem. I see the NRA working on some issues, and their focus is Second Amendment rights, and I think that they can focus all that they want on the Second Amendment, and I think that's okay. I don't have any issues with that. My thing is what do we do about focusing on making change for our kids and our communities? And I think at some point in time, we have to look at what have we done and what can we do to create an environment for our kids and in our own communities? Because I think we have to also look at what have we been doing to create an environment for our kids? And so there is some responsibility that we have to accept on our own parts. And so that's where I'm at. That's all that I would ask.
Well, Doc, you hit it on the head. You hit it on the head, you know. And the resources are not being used for that because we have the resources to make it happen.
Yeah.
You just can't tell me, no, we don't have it.
Right.
Those who have the funds and who can write the checks are not writing the checks. Okay?
That's right.
I think a lot of focus is being put on the children who, how can I say it? Not clearly at risk as those are that are already out there.
Right.
I think a lot of focus is, if they've wrote off the kids on the block, you know, the young men and women, they've wrote them off. And now let's focus on just the babies coming up, you know. At the same time, the babies coming up are being shot and killed. You know, you take your child to the park, you know, in the Bronx at a basketball game just yesterday or the day before, 4-year-old shot, killed. You know, more vigils, more marching. And, you know, that's all good that we come out, but does it really change anything? Does it stop anything? No. It doesn't. I mean, okay, yes, I agree with it. It's good to show up, you know, but we need to stop this. We need something to stop it. It's like, you know, it's like we got a major cut that needs surgery and we're putting a Band-Aid on it. And, you know, meanwhile, we're bleeding to death because we're not taking the proper medical treatment. And this is what's happening with the death toll in America, in the cities.
Right.
And putting the Band-Aid on it.
Right. And, Tony, one of the issues that Kay and I see that's underlying in all of it still comes back to internalized oppression for ourselves, but it also, you know, and this is no blame. We're not blaming anyone. But it also is embedded in the R word, and that is in racism. And I know that's going to upset some folks, but it's embedded in that. And so Brother Roland is right. We have to do some education, and we have to educate our people to become critical thinkers. And how do we fight that? And Tony, you're also right. We believe that the funding is there, and how do we get our funding to be used in another way? Because until we become politically active and use our funding a different way, it's not going to change. And I don't mean this in a bad way, but I guarantee you that if people of a different ethnic group were wiped out like we are being wiped out, this if this happened to a week to different folks that looked different than we do, there would be something that was done. I guarantee you.
Oh, exactly. I'm in full agreement with that. I'm in full. But see, it's not happening to those people. It's happening to us. And you know, history has already showed us. Once it starts to reach outside of the communities at large, action is taken.
Right.
Major action is taken.
Right.
Okay? It is shut down immediately.
Right.
Immediately. You know, it's look at our history with drugs, with disease. As soon as it reaches outside of the inner city communities, and it reaches those, say, living in the suburbs or what have you, immediate action is taken.
Right.
And this thing that's going on here with the gun violence is remaining in the inner cities of America, and there's no one from outside these inner cities that's going to come in and make any changes. So it really goes back to us again. You know,
right. It's
pretty clear that the cavalry is not coming. Okay.
Right. Well,
white kids, boys and girls, they're not still slaughtering each other every day.
Right. Well, and as far as NRA is concerned, I have a suggestion, and this will totally blow some people away. I think more black people need to belong to the NRA, and I guarantee you there'll be some changes if black people join the NRA.
Wow, hold that thought, because you know I'm bringing Roland back in on that one, Doc. Hold on. Roland, did you hear what Doc just said?
Yeah, I heard Doc, and Doc, I was a member of the NRA for 25 years, man. All they do is take your money and control Congress. Listen, man, you got to put the weight. You got to put the ultimate weight right now on the NRA for a major portion of these problems. In order for us to stop guns from coming into the community, Congress has to create laws that go up against the Second Amendment. When we have the ban, the weapons ban, and we had the problem with the cop killers bullets, Congress passed laws and eliminated those particular items from being sold to the public.
There's no reason in the world
that a civilian needs to have an AK-47 or AR-15 or any assault type weapon. You're not using it for target practice. You're not damn sure not using it to kill no animal for hunting. And a 100-round magazine is just obnoxious. I mean, it's just outrageous. The only way that that can be stopped, Congress has to pass laws in order for it to happen, and the NRA is so powerful. As you know, just last week or 2 weeks ago, the NRA forced Democrats to hold Eric Holder in contempt of Congress. The NRA forced Democrats to vote with the Republicans to hold Eric Holder in contempt of Congress. So the NRA is a most powerful, powerful force, and the NRA is the one that's allowing these weapons to be sold to anyone, anywhere, okay, under the premise of the Second Amendment. And until that gets changed, guns will flow, assault weapons will flow into our community. Now, in terms of these being legal and illegal, the only thing that makes a weapon illegal in various cities are the various practices and policies of the law. But as far as weapons are concerned, itself,
Roland, hold on a second.
Yes, sir.
Maybe I'm playing the devil's advocate here for just for a moment. You know, I do this at times. But, you know, you said when the cop killer bullets were out, they took immediate action to stop them.
That's correct.
Okay. And I think the factor is they were killing law enforcement. That's why immediate action was taken.
Exactly what I said in the first segment as to what has to happen to shake it up and wake it up.
Yeah. Well, you know, my thing is, you know, they did it to protect law enforcement. Okay, which they were supposed to do that. All right? Here it is. Our youth are slaughtering each other, and, you know, they're not taking the type of measures they would take to protect our youth and babies like they took.
They don't give a damn about our youth and babies, brother. They don't give a damn about our youth and babies.
That's what I mean.
You're just like everything else, and you mentioned it before, until it hits their community. Listen, man, this thing goes back to the Civil War, brother. The only reason we got freedom is because the white man was fighting the white man over the states. So until when they have that fight, government, cops, you know, and the NRA have that fight, as to these assault weapons killing them, that civil war, then whatever comes out of that, we benefit from, our communities benefit from. But they got to have that civil war amongst themselves. Ain't no amount of money in the world that the community, black community, can put together that's going to fight the NRA. You're talking about Shelton Adelson. You're talking about the Koch brothers. And you're talking about Mitt Romney right now. He's not going to change any laws. We don't have $400 million to put behind any kind of representative that's going to do anything about our community. You know, President Obama's hands are tied right now. I'm hoping he'll do something in the second term. But the NRA, man, is just a powerful source. And, I mean, the bottom line is, that, you know, As long as they exist with the power they have, guns will be in our community.
Okay. Well, hold on, Roland, because I got a community activist on the line. I want to bring him in. He just called in a few moments ago, and I want him to talk about what he does and the progress he has made and some of the frustration that he's went through, and I think he possibly may be dealing with right now. So, Doc, Roland, stand by. Don't go anywhere. I want to bring this gentleman in, okay?
Tempo.
Good evening, Ralph. How are you, man?
Hey, how you doing, my brother? How's everything?
I'm great, man. I'm glad you called in, you know.
Yeah, I'm running a little late. I had to make a run out to Manhattan. I'm coming back on this side of Jamaica, and my phone is on low. So I'm trying to get as much time in with you as possible.
Well, good, good, good. Well, this is your time. You know, I know you're a community activist. You know, I know you've been doing some great things out there in Far Rockaway, and one of the worst projects that they have out there. But I know you were out there and you made some great progress. So, you know, basically, I'm going to leave it up to you. You know, tell us about your organization, what you do, and your success that you've had.
Okay, well, this is Rob Greer. I'm from Ralph's Education and Recreation Computer Services, Inc. However, I was working in collaboration with the King of Kings Foundation, which is called Atlantis, and we was part of what we call Operation Snub, which is actually guns spelled backwards, which is Stopping the Violence, National Use of Funding, Use of Celebrities, Guns, Gangs, and Gang for Employment. And my part out in Far Rockaway, especially in the Red Firm area, I was an outreach worker, and I was responsible for like 18 participants that were either involved in gangs or at risk of shooting someone or at risk of getting shot. And my position in that is what I had to do was basically get them engaged. So out of the 18 participants that I was dealing with, I was able to get 10 of them jobs. I got 8 of them back in school. And out of that 8, 6 of them are now in college, and 2 are still going after their GED. And we had a great success rate. We was out there for 51 weeks, and there was no shots. Nobody got murdered. You know, we had a couple of fights, a couple of beats, but we had to mediate them. And the main thing was nobody got shot and nobody brought out the gun.
Right. So what you were doing was working.
Oh, 51 definitely.
51 weeks, that's a week shy of a year. You know, so where do you stand at right now with continuing the work that you've been doing?
Right now, we're in the process. Actually, we got a press conference on Friday at City Hall because we were one of the organizations that wasn't refunded to continue with the struggles and keeping the positive message out in Red Firm. So we're in the middle of fighting with that right now.
Oh, so you're going to City Hall. And
I agree
because I don't understand for the life of me why you would not fund a program that has proven it works.
I think a lot of it has to deal with is that basically all of us that's part of the program and running the program, we are formally incarcerated. We were able to do what a lot of the police weren't able to do, what a lot of the so-called programs that's out there supposed to be spearheading, trying to rechannel their energy in these teens and young adults, and they haven't been able to do it. So I think that's one of the reasons why, they weren't able to force the issue about funding, but we're going to fight because we were successful. Out of all the cities that where it was in, New York, Far Rockaway, Queens, Snug had the best record. Like I said, 51 weeks, no shootings, nobody got killed. So, you know, that's basically unheard of because Tony, you know, with Red Firm projects, that's like Gunsmoke Corral over there.
Oh yeah, I'm very familiar with the Red Firm, very familiar. You know, and you know, I heard what you said just now, and I'm hoping it's not enviousness and jealousy is the reason, you know, because if so, that is insane. You know, and I know when people are successful in something, there are those who will try to find a way to stop it because they're not getting the credit or they're envious or they're not running the show, you know. People,
right.
I don't know, you know, they don't realize that what you're doing is bigger than them. It's bigger than you guys.
Definitely.
You know, because
Definitely.
This is for the troubled youth, you know, to get you
yeah.
jobs, to get them off the street, get them in school. This is what needs to be happening. And when you have it happening and you don't back it, you know, that's a shame. A big shame. Then
yeah,
now you got to demonstrate. You got to go demonstrate, stand on City Hall, rally to get funds. That shouldn't happen.
Right.
That should not happen, not with the crisis of gun violence. No. It should be automatic. Fund it, fund them. Look at their record. It's working.
And what's even make us more unique is that most of the people that are hired, they're formerly incarcerated, and they're usually from the general area. We provided 8 jobs for people that live in Redfern. They were either violent interrupters or they were office workers like myself. So we provided employment for at least 8 of them out there. We're telling you to put down the gun. We're telling you to stop swinging on the corners and fighting. So we had to give them something else to do besides that. And what?
Solution. I'm really feeling like part of society don't want solutions. They feel like let it happen. You know, the prisons will fill up and the population growth will decline.
Right.
Yeah, I really feel that's in the mix. You know, because that, for me, you know, for them not to fund you, that's ludicrous. That's, you know, then you want to say, oh, well, you know, nobody won't do this and nobody won't do that. But when you have someone, an organization, you have individuals stepping up and helping, you don't back them? That makes no sense to me at all. But at the same time, I know there's a method to the madness. I know that. You know, because so-and-so is not getting the credit.
Definitely not.
Yeah, and I know that's the game that's played. That is the game that's played. You know, I speak out, I speak my mind. I call it the way I see it. And I get a lot of, you'd be surprised at stuff I get. Oh, you know, don't talk about it, be about it. And them people that say it, don't talk about it, be about it, they're not doing nothing.
They stand on the sidelines,
critiquing and criticizing, and they're not doing nothing. Because, see, first of all, everybody is not built to go out there on the block and talk to
each other. No,
not. Okay? See, that's one thing they're afraid to admit. Okay? You know, I admire the fact of women, mothers especially, who have lost sons and daughters to gunfire, they're stepping up on the front line trying to make it happen. They're not looking for no medals. They're not looking for a whole lot of credit or nothing like that. They're looking for unity and a way to stop what's going on. You know, but there's some folks with titles who are in the way, and they need to move out of the way.
Yeah,
they need to move out of the way. That's the way I see it. That's the way I see it, man. You know, God bless you for what you're doing, Lance Todd, King of Kings, you know, and Operation Stuff. You know, I attended the march in downtown Times Square, man. You know, and wow, you know, my man Fred Simmons, man, he really made me feel like family. You know what I mean? You know,
right.
So he told me, he said, "Listen, man, you with us." You know, and I said, "Oh, okay." You know. I'm the new cat on the block. You know what I mean? He's like, no, you with us. Come on. And that's all it takes, man. That's all it takes. Come on, you with us. You know, representing us, man. And that works. Because that's what you out there in Far Rock doing. You represent us. And you're an example. You have shown an example of what you do can work in other projects, on other boulevards.
Definitely.
And other parts of town where guns are always prevalent. I'm advocating for y'all big time. You tell Lance and Sergeant whatever they need me for, I'm in.
Thank you, my brother. I mean, we had it even where we had people turning in guns and bullets and everything. They just was part of the movement. They said, yo, if you here? Because at first they thought we was going to be there for a week or two. I said, no, we're going to be here a while. And when they saw us there for basically a year, they, you know, they really opened up their arms for us and support, helped support us in that fight with the gun violence out there in Red Crown housing. I mean, it was a time the kids didn't come out and play or nothing, but now you got the seniors back on the benches, you got the kids playing back in the park, and they're not worried about three bullets.
Community safety. Community safety. This needs, man. Wow. Listen, I can't be there at City Hall on the, what is that, the 27th?
On Friday, 27th.
Right, because I have a prior engagement. But, man, you know, much success, my support. I'm definitely going to be promoting it to get folks to come out there and stand behind y'all for what's working. Because y'all doing something that's working.
Uh-huh.
And there's evidence of it, and it needs to continue. So once it continues there, it can start up somewhere else.
Definitely. Definitely.
That's how we make it happen. That's how we make it happen. You know? And we draw others in. We get everybody on the same agenda. But this ain't really about us. This is about the kids.
Leave the details and everything at the door, and everybody just join hands and get the job done.
That's it. Side by side. Side by side. Put in the time. Put in the commitment. Listen, Ralph, I don't know if you can hold on. I know you said your phone was low, but if you can, please hold on.
I'm going to try to hold on as long as I can. If I just happen to go off, you know my battery's dead.
Okay, thank you. I want to bring in my co-founder of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, Miss Lynn Miller. How you doing, Lynn?
Hey, Johnny. Hi, everybody. Hi.
Hello, how you doing?
Hey. Heck of a topic, and actually I'm just kind of coming from the community side of it. I mean, I worked in nonprofit for years and years, but I'd like to commend, you know, if, especially with, you know, young brothers out working out of our way. I really wish that, though, like, we had more, and I don't know what else to call them besides block moms. You know what I mean? Remember, you know, we had, you know, the mom on the,
Right. I know what you're saying, Lynn. I understand.
In front of us. I don't see that anymore. Like, I'm one of kind of myself. I've always been like that. I know all the families out here, and, you know, I know all, you know, they all talking.
Hello, Lynn, are you there? Sound like we're losing you.
No, I'm right here.
Okay, good. I'm sorry. Good.
No, okay, I'm sorry. I just feel like there's not enough of us, like, boots on the ground type thing. You know what I mean? Like,
right, exactly. We don't have this tough, you know, you get this, I know I do. I get the community bulletins for the community meetings. Where is the community watch? You know, we used to have that. That used to be big time. I know where I used to live at, community watch. You know, we don't have enough of that. You know, you got the nosy people now. As soon as they hear the gunshots, they're in the cabinet hiding somewhere. You know what I mean? Where's the community watch?
Look out for your neighbor. I mean, we want to talk
about
it. You'll
talk about your neighbor. You'll gossip about your neighbor. But as soon as you hear guns fired, you're gone.
Have you ever offered, though, to your little young lady on the block with a kid, you know, you need something to eat? You know, I'll watch your kid for you for a couple hours while you go look for a job. Anybody ever do
exactly.
that? You know what I mean? Like, just to help out. You can see that she's struggling, and you can, you know, but, oh, God forbid if she goes out here and sells her body because she can't go get a job, and she got, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand, but I feel like sometimes we're all singing to the choir type thing because it's always us. Those are always us. But, you know, we need to, I don't know, like, some kind of way talk what about the little fellas on the corner? Like, how come, who's talking to them? You know what I mean? And the brother on Rockway, I understand. I truly understand. And the other brother, I forgot his name also, because you know how I feel about the Second Amendment. I'm straight up Second Amendment. I will own my gun. I don't need an assault rifle. I think that's right. I think that's crazy. I mean, who needs an assault rifle? Really, truly, who needs an assault rifle? I don't want the government telling me, though, pretty much anything. I don't like the Republicans. I don't like the Democrats. I don't think any organized religion should be behind any of this either. So I think it just should be us. Like, we need to drop all these titles. Just like you said, Tony, drop all these, I belong to this, and I'm a Democrat, and I'm a blah, blah. Nobody cares what you are. What are you going to do? What are we going to do? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I'm so sick of hearing who you are and what you, you know, I do this. This is who I am. That's not who you are. That's what you do. I want to know who you really are.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's it. And I'm, like I said, I'll get off my soapbox, you know.
No, you're not on your soapbox. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. I mean, it's you know, this is, your ego can't be in this. You know, your ego just can't be in this. You got to come in this and do this unconditionally.
Yeah.
Okay? It's a self-sacrifice, for sure. It's, you know, it takes some time, you know, to talk to your neighbor's child or to go out there on the block. That takes time. You know, some people want to be paid for it, you know. But you know what? The payoff in the end is priceless because lives are saved. You know,
Tony, you know what? People want to say that all the time, that they don't have time. Everybody's working. But BS, you go to your corner store, you see that child walking down the street. When's the last time, and you got to ask yourself this, when's the last time that, you know, I'm just saying by witness, the last time that when a group of kids are walking to school, you just said hi. That's it. Just hi. Give them a smile. That's it. I'm not saying nothing else. You ain't got to ask them nothing. You ain't got to talk to them. But you smile. Hi.
Right.
Stop it.
Right.
That's all you
right.
do. Drop your head and keep walking right past them. Like, better get by them. Or in the corner store.
Exactly.
Like, hey.
Exactly. And this is, this breaks the ice. This breaks the ice, you know, because there's kids out there who they want to talk to somebody, you know. They want somebody to believe in them, to give them some hope, give them some direction.
They want to know somebody cares. They just
exactly.
that you care. You know, that you see them as a human being, not as a threat. Look at them in their eyes.
Exactly.
They're not animals. They're not going to jump on you and attack you. Hi.
Exactly. Do you know, Lynn, they're starting to call me by my first name now? You know, and I'm saying to myself, okay, I didn't tell them all my name, but they know my name.
Right.
You know, and it's just from simple reaching out. This is an election year, and we need all the votes we can get. So I'm going out there. I got the forms for not just to register to vote, but are you walking around and you don't have any ID? You need ID. You don't have any ID, you're stopped, they can run you through the system, and you can sit in there for at least 48 to 72 hours till they figure out who you are. Put some ID in your pocket. Get a state ID. You know, and I hear the various reasons for why they don't have it, or I can't find my birth certificate, or I need my Social Security card, or I wasn't born here. You know, well, let's start the process. Let's get what you need. Take the form. You need a Social Security card? This is where you go. You got to get a birth certificate just from out of town? You write a letter asking for a copy of your birth certificate. You don't know how to do it? I'll help you. You know, simple stuff like that works.
Yeah.
Simple,
wow.
You know, and at the same time, I let them know, listen, I'm going to help you. I'm not going to do it for you. See, I bring that side of it also, you know, and I think that's real, real important. I'm going to bring Ralph back in because I know his phone is low, and also I'm going to bring Doc back in too. So, oh, it's, I just lost Ralph. His phone must have just, it went dead. But I'm going to bring Doc back in. Doc, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, Doc. I know you heard Brother Ralph talking about what he's doing out in the Rockaway, Queens, New York, and the Red Fern Projects. And I got to tell you, the most notorious projects that I've ever been a part of in my living in New York. I mean, I went to church there on New Year's Eve, and at 12 o'clock, I could hear the gunshots outside the church in these projects.
Wow.
Yes. And, I mean, they've made great strides out there, and now they have to demonstrate to get more funding after 51 weeks of success. That makes no sense to me, Doc. None whatsoever, that they have to go to these extremes to get funding. When you have evidence of what they've been doing has been working. Listen, we're going to take a break. We're talking about community activism, gun laws, the NRA, the Second Amendment. Calling number is 424-258-9271. We'll be right back right after this.
Oh, there they go. There they go.
Due to the overwhelming amount of listener requests, the Reggie Bullock Radio Hour will be expanding to three shows a week.
Reggie Bullock Radio Hour.
Every Wednesday night, 7 to 8 p.m., Barbershop Talk. Call in and express your views.
Every time I start talking about boxing.
Uncensored.
I bet Dr. Muscles came on. You lied.
Wednesday night, 7 to 8 p.m.
He beat your Lord's ass.
That's right, he did whoop your Lord's ass.
On Thursday night, join us for Lenny's Life Lessons. A former All-State basketball player and now a father, radio personality Leonard Miller shares his youthful wisdom as the co-host of the Reggie Bullock Radio Hour on Thursday nights. On Friday, join us for Harv's Funny Friday. In the tradition of Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy, comedian Harvey Knowles starts your weekend off right with 1 hour of laughter on Friday night from 7 to 8. And it all starts June 6th. Two new co-hosts, three incredible shows on the Reggie Bullock Radio Hour.
I'm sorry,
I was wrong.
I did wrong.
I did wrong.
Enough is Enough, Save Our Children Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix, founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. You can find us on Facebook or go to our website at enoughisenoughsaveourchildren.org. Registration is free. Leave your information. We'll get in contact with you. And please make a donation. Tonight we're talking about community activism, gun laws, the NRA, the Second Amendment, the shooting that just occurred in Colorado. Our call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. Feel free to call in, chime in on our conversation. We had Ralph Greer on the line. He's an activist for the King of Kings here in New York City. He's working on the projects in Far Rockaway, and he's having much success. Now, after 51 weeks of success, they face demonstrating at City Hall for more funding, which I believe is a damn shame. Also, I have my colleague and friend and mentor, Dr. Edgar J. Scott, and the co-founder of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, Lynn Miller. I'm going to open their mics and let it flow. We have about 13 minutes left in the show, and I'm going to probably get their final comments, and I'm going to start off with Doc. Hello, Doc, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Tony, I just think that this has been a fantastic show. But one thing I'd like to say is it just goes to show, from my perspective, that people interest to me. The phone line should have been filled up and more people should have been involved in this conversation. But there is a complacency in our community about this particular issue. There is a dullness. There is a non-sensitivity about this particular issue. As long as we continue this non-sensitivity, our kids are going to continue to die. And it seems like it doesn't seem to bother folks until your own ox gets gored.
Exactly.
I've done this for a long time, and I wish it would change. But you can wish all you want. You have to get involved. But as I look at this thing over my lifetime, and I go back to when I was coming up as a young man, and my wife and I are writing about this now in our third book, there was a culture even in my own community in growing up in Ohio of where there was almost an acceptance of this kind of behavior in our community. And I wish that it was different, but it wasn't. We've had a few generations in our community where this kind of behavior was almost accepted. And so we're going to have to teach the children another way of doing things, from my perspective, and teach them to become critical thinkers and to do it differently. And we're going to have to start with the younger children to do that. But you said something that was really of interest to me. Just by talking to them and accepting them from right where they're at, you can make change. And I believe that, and I've done it. I do it all the time, and these kids want someone to talk to them, to accept them right where they're at, to not be afraid of them, and they will change, and they will rise to the level of expectations. I have high expectations for all of the young men and young women that we work with, my wife and I, Kay, that we work with, and they rise to the level of expectation. And so that's all I have to say. Thanks for having the show. Thanks for having the people on tonight.
And thank you as always, Doc. You know, from talking with some of these young men, you know, when I asked them about getting involved in helping bring about change, one of the key things that a lot of them say is, you know what, yeah, because if it's, it may be too late for me, but I got children. You know, that's big for me. That's big for me, Doc. You know, to hear them say, to say that, I you know, and I let them know, no, it's not too late for you because your children need you. You know, but I do hear them say that. I hear young men say that, yeah, I got young too. You know, I got youngsters. I got a son. I got a daughter. You know, so if I can't do nothing for me, at least I can help them. You know, these are some of the mindsets out there on the block, but I know folks got this thing, they're crazy, you can't reach them, they don't want to hear nothing. Well, my thing is, have you even attempted to talk to them? Because if you have it, then you don't know what you're talking about. You're just making up a reason not to reach out to them. You know, and I really think, you know, you're full of it. Basically, you're full of it. You know, you're just coming up with a reason not to go out and say, hey, can I help you?
Right.
You know? Really, you know, oh, they're too angry. Yeah, they're angry because nobody's trying to help them. Nobody's giving them no hope. You know, you got a lot of damaged individuals out there. You know, and if you cannot relate to where they come from and where they may, what they may have been, then you're going to have a real hard time. But then there's those who do know where they've been and who can relate. And these are the people that we need to recruit more of to make a greater impact. Len, I know you're still there. I want to give you a chance before we go off the air.
Well, actually, it's a shame, and you're absolutely right that, you know. But it's, to me, you've heard me say this before, it's all about the propaganda. Most of these people and most of the people in our neighborhood, most of the people my age and maybe just either a generation ahead of me or a generation behind me have been raised by the television. And the television has drilled into our minds to be afraid of us. Because all we see is, you know, the violence and all we see is rapes and murders and, you know, and they put black people, you know, on, you know, the face right up there, like, look at these savages and look at what they're doing, you know. So, there's a real fear that's been drilled into us because people got their faces glued to the TV as soon as they get home. Those who do work, when they get home, they're glued into the television watching Fox stupid news or I would guess CBS, CNN, MSNBC, all of them. They're nothing but propaganda holders. They beat the drum that they aren't worth it and that we should be afraid of and that we're nothing but... We believe it. And we believe it. So, yeah, they're afraid, you know, but... Personally, I think it has to be one by one, and you're doing it exactly what you're talking about, Tone. You're going out there, you know, you got the information, and everything that you're doing, the three biggest words or the few biggest words that you said was, I'll help you. Not that you're just saying, here's a form, here's how to do it. I'll help you. That's all they need to hear. Come
exactly.
to me, I'll talk to you. You got a problem, come talk to me. I'm right here. I'll help you.
Exactly. Exactly, you know, a listening ear, you know, and I've learned to listen doesn't mean I have to agree, okay?
Absolutely.
But at least I'm listening, at least because if I'm listening, hopefully they'll listen to me. You know, they'll listen to me. It's really not that hard because these youngsters will open up and they'll talk to you. They'll talk to you. You know, because they can sense fear. They can sense phoniness. You know, and they don't, you know, you got to build some trust. They're not going to just trust you right off the bat, especially if they don't know you. But there is skills that I have and other individuals like Ralph has that works. And it's simple stuff. It's simple stuff. That portion doesn't take money. That portion doesn't take money, but to get them opportunities to do other than what they're doing, it takes funding. And to have something that's working and not to be funded, that's insane. That is truly, truly insane. You know, listen, Lynn, I want to thank you for calling in. Doc, Rumbling Thomas, I don't know what happened. He dropped from the line. Ralph, I know his phone was low. I want to thank each and every one of you for calling in. I want to give a shout-out to a member of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, Shango Blake. He just did a fantastic video for Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. If you want to see it, stop by the group page on Facebook. I think he did a wonderful job, so I definitely have to shout him out for promoting a very, very positive message. I'm so grateful that he's on board. But as always, let me say this. You know, there's a crisis in America. It's gun violence. It is killing our children. It is a plague in every inner city community across the nation. We need to begin to save more lives. The anger and outrage that we display need to be displayed in a different way. We need to have anger and outrage about what is going on. Until we start to implement this type of anger and outrage, this is going to keep happening. It is time to come out of your house and stop hiding. It is time to get involved. You have a daughter, you have a son, you have a grandchild, nephew, niece, what have you. They are not exempt. I don't care where you live. Gun violence does not discriminate, and it takes no prisoners. Don't sleep on this. It is time to wake up. It is up to us. We are failing as a community to do what we need to do. We got activists. We got organizations who need support. We got the Love My Life Camp out here in Southeastern Queens. Quite sure you've heard this woman, Erica Ford. She's doing her thing. We got the King of Kings Foundation out here in Southeast Queens. They're doing their thing. You got Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, out here in Southeast Queens. We're doing our thing. We need your help. We need your donation. This isn't for us. This is for your children. Think about it. Calvary is not coming. It is truly up to us. Time to put your boots on. We got the resources. We got the assets. The sooner that we start to practice and shout no violence, the sooner we will know peace. That's KNOW Deuces. Y'all have a blessed night, and I'll talk to you soon.
You too, son. Love you.
Love you too, man.
Crowded land, how much more than you from man can you stand?